Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, before we get into that debacle last night in Boston, the rebuilding Red Sox beating the Yankees, who were supposedly built to win the World Series. But some breaking news from Boston, happily, that takes me off that subject. In the NFL, in a stunner, the Patriots are releasing four-time Pro Bowl cornerback Stephon Gilmore, ESPN's Adam Schefter reports. And this is on the heels of Jalen Smith getting cut from the Cowboys. It's got these defensive players just getting the boot all of a sudden after week four. Gilmore was eligible to come off the physically unable to perform list after week six. The market for Gilmore, the NFL Defensive Player of the Year just 2 years ago, 2019, is expected to be robust. Multiple teams are expected to be interested, and the 31-year-old Gilmore should be recovered from his quad injury in the coming weeks. Key, what gives? He's going to be recovered. He's an excellent defensive player, and they're cutting him?
Well, I think you got to read a couple things into this. If you remember Stephon Gilmore a year ago wanted a contract extension, he had a little tit-for-tat, kind of like not necessarily a holdout situation. Then he gets hurt with the quad injury. He hasn't been able to perform for them. And, you know, Belichick, after a while, he's like, I've used him up, much like your running back theory. Is I got this dude for however many years I need him. I got what I can get out of him. And at the end of the day, he's no more good to us. We've got to move on from him. And they're moving on from him.
Don't go on the pup list if you play for Belichick, apparently.
Well, I think outside of maybe like Tom Brady and a few other old-time New England Patriots, after a while, it's like when he thinks that you're done, whether it's Deion Branch, Richard Seymour, he just Lawyer Malloy. I mean, he just says – can't get any more or out of them, let somebody else deal with it.
Now I'm really curious to understand what Bill Belichick sees, even though he would never say that publicly. You automatically start thinking, okay, for Gilmore, what's a good landing spot for him? Like, if you were Gilmore, where would you want to be?
Well, he could always go to Tampa and hang out with Tom Brady.
Arizona.
What's the worst part about being in the sports media? This part right here. When your team loses – and you can't just ignore it. You got to talk about it all the next day because that's what you get paid to do. We're going to get back to the Gilmore stuff. But like, right now, we go to Boston.
I know. You got me.
I'm like, what happened?
That's right. The Yankees lost. We got that. We go to Boston and bring in the great Buster Olney on the Goodyear hotline.
Great
brought to you by Goodyear.
Great curveball here,
making
Max.
The plays that move you forward, Goodyear more driven. Good morning, Buster. Bad morning. Bad morning, Buster. I hope you're having a good one.
Max,
I'm having a bad one. Yeah.
Max, my condolences to you. And I know you're taking this personally. It's a tough day. As I said yesterday before the game, I hadn't seen a wild card game where it felt like that on paper, one team had such an advantage over the other team on paper that the Yankees had against the Red Sox, and yet they're going home.
Buster, so you were at Fenway. What was the atmosphere like at Fenway last night for that AL wild card game?
Amazing and tense and really cool. You know, you think back to the 80s, I grew up as a Lakers fan in central Vermont, and I always used to love to watch those games at Boston Garden, Celtics and Lakers, because you could just feel and hear the crowd grumbling. Mm-hmm. And they were tense as the ball's being dribbled down the floor. I heard that last night. You know, and it just the game gets started. It's that that tense grumbling that was going on. Because I'm sure Red Sox fans felt like, too, that, you know, that their guys, the state of the Red Sox pitching was not great going into that game. They were very vulnerable. It was important for them to get off to a great start. And that's exactly what Xander Bogaerts did. Guys, he didn't have an extra base hit in the last nine regular season games. He hit 156. But, you know, talking with Red Sox people going into that game, they said, look, he is obviously tremendous acumen. And on top of that, tremendous athlete. And he said he's the type of player who can make an adjustment within one at bat and be back on. And that's what he did last night.
J.D. Martinez didn't even play for the Sox last night, and they still pulled one out on the Yankees. Can you point to one reason? I mean, there was obviously many reasons why the Yankees dropped that one. Can you just point to one main reason you think?
Yeah, Garrett Cole stunk. You know, he said after the game that he was sick to his stomach about how he pitched. You could see right out of the gate that he was not right. And I'm not, you know, I'm not a pitching coach, but, you know, for a lot of years in covering the sport, I've always heard pitching coaches talk about, you know, pitchers looking free and easy on the mound when they're pitching well. He was the opposite of that. He just didn't look comfortable at all. He didn't have any life on his fastball. He didn't really have much command. He was spraying his fastball all over the place. There was certainly some buzz down the stretch about where he was physically. We all know that he wasn't as dominant after the sticky stuff crackdown came in mid-June. Whatever the reason was, he was terrible. And which is why Aaron Boone, you know, didn't give him more time to try to figure it out, because he could see it just wasn't working. And you guys saw when Aaron went to the mound to take him out of the game, you could read Garrett's lips. I'm done. Like, he knew it. He stunk, and he put them in a hole. And as I said on the broadcast last night, that as we move forward, this is part of his legacy that he's going to have to live down. That's the reality. Key, you know better than I do. You're playing in New York. And you are brought in to be the guy with the highest, biggest contract ever for a pitcher, and you have a game like that, everything on the line for the franchise, and you stink up the joint, you're going to get asked questions about that going forward by idiots like me until you actually conquer that mountaintop. And who knows when that's going to happen again. That's going to be a difficult challenge for him.
Buster Olney, ESPN Inside Baseball Insider, host of Baseball Tonight podcast, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. So, Buster, I have to ask you, Phil Nevins, his decision to waive Aaron Judge in the sixth, to waive him home, why?
I didn't see him after the game. I didn't get a chance to ask him, but there's no question it was a bad send. Look, if there are two outs on that play and the runner gets thrown out by 10 feet the way that Aaron Judge was thrown out, then you go, okay, you know, you understand that. But with one out, you cannot have a runner thrown out at home plate by that much. You could see, you know, the reaction in the Yankees dugout when Judge was tagged out, that it was a body blow for that team. You know, Xander Bogaerts referred to it as, you know, one of the biggest moments of the game. He was exactly right. The Yankees were working, you know, hoping to come back. They would have had second and third and one out. You know, Nathan Eovaldi was nearing the end of his night. He, you know, looked like he was vulnerable. And instead, they essentially have the guts taken out of that inning. The rally stopped. The comeback stopped. That was it. You know, after that, the Yankees weren't really in the game.
Buster, there's a lot of talk about Aaron Boone, but I want to focus on Brian Cashman for a second. He's been there for a couple decades, and in this century, the Red Sox have won four, the Yankees won, and they keep getting eliminated by the Red Sox. He's a good GM. I think everyone acknowledges it. He's not the best GM in baseball, right? I mean, and the Yankees are the greatest franchise in the history of American, if not worldwide, team sports. Why is it okay that the Yankees have just a good GM and not the best one? Is there any talk at all about Brian Cashman's performance before we start talking about Aaron Boone?
Well, there's certainly, you know, discussions about decisions that have been made with the construction of the team. You know, the fact that coming into the year that it was so right-handed. You know, the decision 2 years ago to put Gleyber Torres at shortstop. You know, that was a decision after how he struggled last year. That was a surprise to me. But I will tell you that he has an incredibly close and productive relationship with Hal Steinbrenner. You know, those two guys, essentially, they're close to the same age. They're like brothers. I'm sure that Hal Steinbrenner, because he's an analytic sort, will take a look at it and then ask himself the question, look, if I don't have Brian Cashman, then who is it going to be? They have not had a losing season in Brian Cashman's time as general manager. He's also someone, as you know, Brian, if he makes a mistake, he'll tell you. If he feels like that there's something that he can improve, he will tell you. And he handles the New York media flawlessly. I can tell you this, you know, talking with folks with other teams, if Brian were to be let go as the Yankees general manager, he would have job offers within 0.2 seconds with other teams. I think the industry, Max, feels more strongly about how good he is as a general manager than you do.
No, he's good.
But I also understand that, you know, your standard and the standard of a lot of Yankee fans is the George Steinbrenner standard, which is if you don't win the World Series, you suck.
No, wait, I just want to be...
won the World Series. Let me finish. They haven't won the World Series in the last 12 years. And that's the reality of the Yankees world.
I want to be very clear. I don't think most Yankees fans think you have to win the World Series every year. That's impossible. Well, I get that. Got to win it more than anyone else, and definitely more than the Red Sox.
Right.
Definitely more than the Red Sox. Yeah.
Buster Olney, ESPN Baseball Insider, host of Baseball Tonight podcast. You have to listen to it. It is a great listen. But no more negative bad news for these Yankee fans. Let's go on the positive side of the West Coast. Tonight on ESPN Radio and ESPN app, we got a dual battle with Max Scherzer taking the mound for the Dodgers and Adam Wainwright taking the mound for the Redbirds of St. Louis. What are we expecting to see tonight, Buster? What am I going to be watching at 7:30?
Oh, drama. Now, last week when you and I talked, Key, I just loved your perspective as a fan talking about, you know, okay, once the Dodgers get through the wild card game, then they, you know, they great pitching staff and he'll be in a good position. I'll say it again. Tonight's game, you just can't assume anything, because when you have Adam Wainwright at 40 years old with all of his experience and all of his understanding, you know, how to use adrenaline in a game like this against the hitter, how to use the hitter's anxiety against them with Yadier Molina behind the plate, and they've had days to prepare for this. That is dangerous for the Dodgers, especially because that, you know, losing Max Muncy was a big deal. He was day-to-day their best hitter before he suffered that elbow injury the other day, and Dave Roberts is – you know, kept open the possibility he could appear again this postseason. I think it'd be shocking if he plays again this October, and that's a huge blow for them.
Hey, I think Max just turned him off.
Yeah, we just lost him right there.
I think Max pulled the plug on him. He got tired of listening to about the Dodgers, Max. Justin.
I'm gonna pull for the Dodgers the rest of this season.
I was going to ask him about us at first base, if we're going to put Pujols there or bring Cody Bellinger out of center and figure out what to do in the outfield. But Buster's gone, so.
Good defensive first baseman. Important,
yeah,
especially
Pujols,
in the
I mean, I guess he could.
He was once a great defensive first baseman back in the day.
Yeah, he kind of looked like at times that he's eating the bases, so. That's
jeez.
What do you mean?
That was Buster Olney on the Goodyear Hotline. Keyshawn, J. Will, and
Max. Albert Pujols has gotten a little chunky.
I've noticed, yes.
You know, that's all.
Presented by Progressive Insurance. If you just joined, Stephon Gilmore has been released by the Patriots.
Ouch.
According to Adam Schefter, the Patriots and Gilmore could not agree to terms on a restructured contract, and now the two sides are going their own ways. Gilmore said this morning on Twitter, quote, "It is with mixed emotions that I announce my goodbye to this great fan base, to Mr. Kraft, the coaches, and the organization. Thank you for providing me with this platform and allowing me to be part of greatness." Key, why do you think Gilmore and the Patriots parted ways?
Well, I think, for one, money, you mentioned restructuring the contract. Remember, he wanted new money, and they're, like, looking at his age, and then he's injured. And when you miss games and Bill decides as a personnel evaluator that you can't give him what you gave him for those years that you were there, it's time to move on from him. Now, there's going to be a team out there or teams out there that is going to want to sign Stephon Gilmore. You know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers comes to mind, Jay. Mm-hmm. When you think about three of his former teammates in Gronkowski, A.B., and the great Tom Brady. I'm sure Tom had a wink-wink moment when he saw him probably up in Foxborough this past Sunday night. Wink, wink, see you soon. And it was one of those type deals. And then there'll be others that take a look at him, I'm sure. You know, he could probably still play. There's no question about that. But injuries and what Bill feels about players, if you go and you think about the history of Bill Belichick, he tends to want to get rid of players as he sees their time ending. And say to themselves,
a year too early instead of a year too late.
Yeah, that's what he thinks. That's what he thinks. And there's nothing wrong with that thinking process, especially if they're not going anywhere.
That just seems like.
Why wouldn't they try to trade him instead of this?
I think they probably already tried to trade him. I think they did already.
Return on value for that?
Probably. They just forget it.
It just seems like in the last couple days, between Jalen Smith with the Cowboys and now Gilmore with the Patriots, we have big name, high priced defensive stars with big name, you know, franchises, yeah. Right? Who are just getting tossed out.
Hey, man. You know, you think about Jalen Smith, he didn't fit Dan Quinn's system. He just didn't. They were using more of a strong safety in that spot, and they just felt like that didn't work. And then you look at Stephon Gilmore's injured. And so Bill's like, you're injured, you don't help me, you was injured last year.
You want to get paid?
Not for us.
Already, like, why pay for going forward for what you already did for me if I didn't have to pay for that?
Yeah.
Jalen Smith, too, is like, I know we're talking
about
Gilmore.
You know, when you start to get up to 30 years old, Jay, at football, they be looking at you different. Yeah. This ain't baseball hoops. In hoops, you get to 30. You're like, hey, we're going to give you another $700 million. In football, you get to 29. They get to talking about, yeah, you walk funny. Something wrong with you. It's a different feel when you start to creep up in age.
Unless you're Tom Brady and you're 44 years old.
Well, quarterbacks, they look at differently.
Yeah.
But other skill positions, they find a way not to pay you.
So the NFL is the one league. It's the most meritocratic. You know, it doesn't matter what your reputation is, this, that. They will find out if you can play or not.
That's too big, man. Explain.
Based on merit. Right? Based on merit. Meritocratic. Meritocracy. Merit-based.
Yes, I
got it. The point is... you guys act like you didn't go to college.
I got it. I just...
All right, look. The point is other sports...
Well, not us. Our listeners.
Other sports, it's not the same as the NFL. No matter what... Even if you're a good player sometimes, right? Like, think about the Cowboys. Van Der Esch and Smith... That was like one of the best tandems on paper in the NFL, years ago? Just like that.
Yeah. In baseball, you're like Clayton Kershaw, you're like coming off injury, you got a little elbow here, a little rotator cuff there. Hey, we got another $80 million for you.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah, in other sports, it feels like your resume means more. They're like, all right, you had a bad season or two, but you're good. We're going to hold on to you.
Think about it. The Clippers just gave Kawhi with another 170.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you'll be fine. Here's another $170 million. We'll worry about that 3 years from now.
What is that in the NFL? Is it because it's such a physical sport? Because there are fewer games to make
numbers,
an evaluation?
It's numbers, right? You got a lot more bodies. And players, it's a violent sport. So you get injured. And so if I keep paying you and then you get injured, I got to replace you. So now guess what? In order to replace you, I got to replace the same Max Kellerman. I can't take a lesser Max Kellerman. I got to get the same guy. Now I got to pay him what you're making or more.
I don't want to exaggerate it, right? But and football is a war game. The old George Carlin line, right? It is set up. You're taking over territory. The whole thing.
It's violent.
But I wonder what is the mentality that allows you to prepare on every play, knowing your whole future financially is at stake, and it could end on every single play, different than basketball or baseball because of the violence. Any, like, you, I'm sure you feel something on your ankle. You're like, oh, please, please, please.
Well, right? That's why out of all the sports, the one sport that they be trying to get the bag is football. That's why dudes be trying to get the money. Like, you know, out of all the sports, the one sport always contract issues is in football. You know, holdouts or gripes about their money. You don't hear it in hoops. You don't hear it in baseball, you hear it in football. Like, literally every year, there's somebody, Jay, talking about, man, I got to get that bag, man. I got to get that bag. I had a conversation with a kid the other day that we were talking, and he's injured, and he called me about whether or not to go back based on his injury. And I gave him whatever fake medical advice I could as a Dr. Johnson. And one of the first things he said, man, I got to get that bag, Key. And I'm like, yeah, but you got to also make sure that you're securing yourself, because if you put bad tape out there, they're going to look at you differently than when you got good tape. You had great tape last year. And if you injured this year and you try to go back and play and you put bad tape, they're going to use it against you. But his whole thing was, man, I got to get that bag, man. And he's 2 years away from really getting the bag.
Oof. That's the thing in football. I mean, in basketball is into a 13-man roster, smaller roster. Like, you know, we talk about Dennis Schroeder kind of mishandling the bag, but now he's with the Boston Celtics. And he'll probably have another opportunity to attain the bag, right? You know, unless there's some really bad injury. But in football, man, the retention rate is just turnover so fast.
And it requires more teamwork from more players who have to trust each other than any sport. And at the same time, locker rooms with everyone at a different point in their lives, what their money is, what their future is.
You know when it's coming, though, because they start talking to you different. They start looking at you different, talking to you different. Start, you know what I'm saying, that conversation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
What's the difference?
You could just tell. Like, you literally could tell, yeah, okay, they getting ready to do this dude in. Because they talking to less reps in practice. He's taking less reps in practice. The conversations on the sidebar from 2 years ago, that sidebar really ain't happening now. Oh, I can see it a mile away when the dude getting ready to get the axe.
Much more on Stephon Gilmore's release. Plus, could Aaron Rodgers go to a team that already has a franchise quarterback? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Willimax on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio. Adam Schefter, senior NFL insider, on the line. Let's get right to it. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Max. How you doing?
Well, not great after the Yankees game, but now this shocking news. Why did the Patriots release Stephon Gilmore this morning?
Well, Max, the Patriots were about $54,000 under the cap. They had less room than just about any team in the league, if not any team in the league. And they want to go sign Jamie Collins. They want to make other moves. They want to have cap flexibility the remainder of the year, need to operate. And when you look at it, who was the guy where there was the most cap space tied up? Guy that was on the physically unable to perform list, and Stephon Gilmore. They went to him to get a reworked contract done. He was unwilling to do what they said. He would have done something if it was favorable in his direction, but it wasn't. He knew the leverage that he held, and he said, no, I'm not going to do that. And they needed the space. And he's in the last year of a contract. I think both sides were going different ways. And they said, you know what? He's not rushing back from his quad injury right now to play for us. He won't take the rework deal. We love the guy as a player. He's a four-time Pro Bowl player, former NFL Defensive Player of the Year, key interception in the Super Bowl that helped put away the win over the Rams. But they needed some flexibility and space, and they freed up $5.8 million by releasing him. So now New England can function, operate, and they let go the cornerback who becomes a free agent and goes on his way. And I'm sure everybody will think, well, Tampa and Tom, right? Like, that has to be, right? The Buccaneers on line two, they have no cornerbacks. They've been wiped out. They signed Richard Sherman off the street last week.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries, in so many different ways for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
But the fact of the matter is the Buccaneers have done so many cap gymnastics. They don't have very much salary cap space right now. And it would take a lot to get that done. And that's not to say that they can't figure out a way to go do it. They'll certainly try, I would imagine. But it's going to be challenging for them to come up with what they need to do to go get a guy like Stephon Gilmore in there.
Adam, what are some possible landing spots outside of Tampa?
Well, I would say any team that's in playoff contention that needs a cornerback. And who doesn't need a cornerback? Everybody wants more cornerbacks. Everybody. So just look at all the Super Bowl contenders. Look at all, like, the Chiefs. Could they use him? Absolutely. Could the Chargers use him? Yep. Could the Arizona Cardinals use him? Yep. I mean, everybody can get it. You know, would the Dallas Cowboys want him? Who's got space? Who's winning? Who's willing to sign him? Key, any playoff contender with some cap space will be interested.
Adam Schefter, ESPN senior NFL insider, the best in the business, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Where is Stephon Gilmore at health-wise, Adam?
Yeah, good question, Key. And I would say this, that he was eligible to come off the physically unable to perform list in week 6. I think he's on pace there to go play and be ready. Do I think he's going to be playing in week 7 or 8? I don't know, but I think that for whoever signs him, I think he plays pretty much the second half of the year. They'll get a good run out of him here, and he'll be healthy enough to play at that point in time, is my understanding. Now, I'm sure he'll have to go in and pass a physical and do all those things, but I think that anybody who signs him now will have him essentially for the second half of the year. Yes.
That is Adam Schefter, ladies and gentlemen. The shocking news today. Patriots releasing Stephon Gilmore. Of course, a little less shocking as Adam explains to you the details surrounding the situation. Thank you very much, Adam.
Jamie Collins, a third.
My condolences on the Yankees, Max.
Oh, thank you. That I appreciate. I need that today.
I was going to say, Jamie Collins, a third trip to New England. This will be his third stop back in New England. I mean, it's pretty amazing, right? This is his third time back with the Patriots.
And it's funny because you brought it up about Belichick earlier. It's like you can do something for him now. If that changes, then you can be moved. If he thinks he can help, he bring you back.
Because they're obviously clearly happy with the corners that they have, and they're saving less money. They get to get Jamie Collins back, who allows them better, you know, helps the pass rush. So it's like it all goes together. You, Jamie Collins, you sign him. He gives you the pass rush. They know him. The pass rush helps the secondary out. So, therefore, you don't need Stephon Gilmore in the secondary because you got the pass rush that now helps the secondary out. So, you save money. It's all of those little pieces that's out there.
It just makes – those are the kind of things, though, Key, that makes you wonder, what does Bill Belichick see in that torn, that partially torn quad that he's had that maybe doesn't think he can get back to the level – that he was. I mean, we are talking about the 2019 Defensive Player of the Year. You know what I mean?
2 years ago.
Great player.
Yeah. 2 seasons ago.
Four-time Pro Bowler. It's not like we're talking about...
chopped liver.
Yeah. You're talking about a high-energy dude that brings a skill set that you need.
At a premium position.
Yeah, but the economics played a part in this. He wants real money, and he can demand real money. He has the leverage. Somebody out there, like Adam said, is going to pay him. I don't know who it is. It could be the Bucks. It could be Kansas City. Then Adam is right. Yeah, the Bucks are up against it on the salary cap, but it's easy to manipulate the cap. I just go to Gronk. I'll go to Tom. I'll go to Devin White. I'll go to players that we just paid and say, here's some real cash up front and give us some cap space, and I'm going to give you more money today versus tomorrow, and now you can sign a Stephon Gilmore.
Stephon Gilmore gets back to where he was this year on the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, that's a problem. We're asking on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If the Packers win the Super Bowl, will Aaron Rodgers play for the Packers, or are you taking the field? You're saying he's going to be on the Packers or every other team in the NFL? Those are the two choices in 2022. Matt in Virginia, good morning.
Hey, guys. I take him the field. I personally don't think Aaron Rodgers has forgotten San Francisco passing on him in the 2005 draft. So I see him doing what Manning did because it worked, joining Elway and the Broncos.
Well, you may mention of San Francisco multiple times. I mean, it does feel like San Francisco with the Trey Lance, like that seems feasible when you think about it.
I'm just thinking about
it. Oh, you said Denver?
Yeah, Denver.
Denver.
Denver is like the place that was most talked about. And that, but when I look at San Francisco, I'm just thinking market plus team plus what could they offer? Like, if you're the Packers, if I'm the Packers, I want a young quarterback with tremendous upside. Where am I finding all that? Where Aaron Rodgers wants to go and who has something to offer me?
Yeah, but if I'm John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, do I want Aaron Rodgers? And yes, I want Aaron Rodgers, right? I mean, I get it. Are you stupid, Keyshawn? Yeah, I want Aaron Rodgers, but I'm giving up something that I moved up to get and do all. And now I'm giving up this young gun for Aaron Rodgers for 3 years, and I think his ceiling is higher, opposed to a Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. Baker Mayfield, I don't really think he has the same ceiling as a Trey Lance.
So I think Cleveland, pure football, Cleveland. I'm with you.
Yeah, but I would give up Baker Mayfield for Aaron Rodgers, but will I give up Trey Lance for 3 years of Aaron Rodgers?
That you would, because I've heard you talk about this in the past.
No, I would, yeah. But I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the John Lynch, the 49ers, and the future.
Yeah, I would say on football, it's Cleveland, 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 on pure football. Once you factor everything in, I think people think Denver. I just see San Fran.
Yeah, but Denver doesn't have a future. San Francisco has a future.
Mm-hmm. No, you got to take it to, you got to bring it to get it, you know?
And plus, if you're Aaron, you're looking at it like, all right, is that defense really mm-hmm. what we thought it was?
Which defense?
San Francisco's defense.
I mean, they're okay.
Russell.
They're okay. I mean, it's a divisional game. They play each other. They split every year anyway. I mean, I think so. I like San Francisco.
Denver, Cleveland. I mean, all right.
Is there any other destination that you can think of where you go, Aaron Rodgers might be looking at them thinking, just parachute me in there? You know, I think Cleveland for pure football. I've been saying, Key, you mentioned in Cleveland. I think that's the overall fit.
Depending on what he feels about playing out in Las Vegas.
Mm. Mm. Raiders.
And I'm not trying to get rid of Carr.
you were just building Carr up the last 4 weeks. Now you're trying to
trade him
for Aaron Rodgers.
I build him up to
That's
trade
what you're doing.
I did a Max Kellerman for sure. No, I mean, Vegas maybe, Max?
New Orleans?
They're not going to trade him. They wouldn't probably trade him within the – they probably wouldn't trade him within the conference. Vegas may make sense because, you know, if they don't feel a certain way about Carr,
yeah,
then maybe I'll take Carr back in Green Bay and whatever, if Aaron Rodgers likes Vegas. And the reason that makes a lot of sense, too, is because the offense is not a learning curve because it's still sort of kind of a West Coast mix, such like San Francisco, Green Bay. They all kind of run the same stuff to a degree. It just looks different depending on the quarterback.
A lot of moving parts. Because as you like, there's the football fit. There's the what do they have to offer. There's the familiarity with the coaching staff or the system they run. A lot of moving parts. But one thing that was pretty clear heading into this season was Rodgers had put the Packers on notice. You know, like I left the door open, like people can change. But the overwhelming speculation has been he won't be there.
See, I think if they win the Super Bowl, I just feel like he's going to stay, man.
Well, also, I mean, we're in October. A lot of things can change from the time we get from now into the Super Bowl injury-wise.
Andy Dalton is the QB1, if healthy, according to Matt Nagy. Oh, how's that playing for the Bears' best receiver? We'll ask him next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides.
See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
On Jay, Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Robinson joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
What's up, Robbie, man?
You're good.
Can't complain, man. Can't complain.
Yeah. You're getting a W, so why would you complain? Y'all sitting at 2-2 right now, and I know you probably feel good about your team. What's up with Coach Nagy not being a consistent guy when it comes to these quarterbacks and who's going to be the starter? Why not just say Justin Fields is a starter moving forward?
From my perspective, I don't really know, have too much information as far as, when it comes to that stuff. But as far as, for us as a team, we've throughout training camp, we've got reps with both guys, we've played with both guys, and the camaraderie that we have with both quarterbacks, is very good, So, for us as players, we just come in, listen to what the plan is, figure out what the plan is, and try to figure out how to execute it to the best of our abilities.
Alan, let me ask you this. You have a certain style to you. You have a certain swag to you. Which quarterback fits that style and that swag the best for you personally?
I've always said, for me, it don't really matter too much of who throwing the ball. I think that whether if it's short routes, deep routes, whatever it may be, I think that I'm a pretty versatile player. I've kind of built my game around that of being versatile and being able to, pretty much play and adjust to whoever the quarterback is or whatever the situation may be. So I feel like it's not even really who fits me. I feel like I fit them. I feel like I fit whoever, honestly, when it comes to who's throwing the ball.
All right, so who are your favorite type of quarterbacks in the league? How about that? What quarterbacks do you like? Do you rock out in the league with?
That's that question right there, man. We got a lot of good quarterbacks in this league. When you sit back and watching football on Sundays, you watch how Tom Brady execute, when you watch how Matt Stafford execute, Aaron Rodgers. When you watch a lot of guys, it's a lot of Kyler Murray's. It's a lot of good quarterbacks right now playing really good football. I think that the league is also evolving, to where we're seeing, a lot of the younger quarterbacks now, start to have success. But those are just some of the few quarterbacks when I'm watching football on Sunday or Monday when we're not playing, that I enjoy and appreciate watching.
Now that you playing with a young pup like Justin Fields, and you had an opportunity, obviously, to be with Nick Foles, Mitch Trubisky, Andy Dalton, how is the ball coming off the hands of Justin Fields? Is it a catchable ball, or is it something that you're still getting used to?
No, definitely a catchable ball. I think for him, that's something that that we've seen from him is the arm talent that he has. He has a special arm. We've seen him make, every kind of throw from college to now being in the league, we see, how he can spin the rock, So, that's his natural gift, is being able to throw the football.
Say, man, what you doing, man? Where you at? You parking? What you doing, man?
Yeah. I actually just pulled up to the facility.
All right, Allen Robinson, Chicago Bears, do-it-all wide receiver, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. When you look at where you've been with the Chicago Bears, and all of a sudden you have a different play caller in Bill Lazor who called the plays last week for you. Have you got used to understanding what plays are coming, when they coming, versus when Matt Nagy is calling the plays?
Yeah, it's something that definitely still kind of not getting used to, but figuring out the flow of that. He called the plays a little bit last season as well, so we could kind of going back and kind of looking at it, having a feel for what he likes to call when he likes to call it, So, that definitely is something for as a player that you have to get used to a little bit, depending on the flow of the game, what he likes, what he sees and stuff like that. So it's still, for us, last week was the first game, going into the game. I didn't know who was calling the plays until after the game, so It definitely for us, you know, may take a little bit, but again, I mean, we have a familiarity with him calling some of the plays.
This year, going into the year, you obviously wanted to deal with a contract extension and make sure that you got the bag secured. Where are you at right now? Is that something that you think about, you know, throughout the course of this season, or is it just completely out of your mind now? You just playing on the field.
For me, it's out of my mind now. You know, it's nothing. Obviously, with deadlines and stuff like that, it's nothing that can change, you know, for me playing on the franchise tag. You know, so right now my mind is just focused on the field. You know, figuring out how can I get better week to week. You know, how can I be the best player that I can be? How can I improve upon last year? You know, so that's the main focus and the number one goal for me right now. You know, it's just, again, being able to continue to help lead this team and try to be better week in and week out.
Alan, from what you've seen and what you've experienced so far, is Justin Fields ready? Do you think that the Bears could win on a consistent basis with Justin Fields as your starting quarterback?
Yeah, you know, I think he's ready. You know, I think he's ready because he's one of those guys, again, like last week, you know, coming off of the Cleveland Browns game, it was his first start. You know, obviously when you're a rookie, I mean, for me being a rookie in this league, you know, I knew what it was like getting my first start and getting my first kind of game reps, you know, and every single game after that, you know, was better, you know, and it continued to get better and better and better and better, you know. So, I mean, that's really how you start to see, you know, the maturation of players in this league is from them actually playing, you know. So I think he has, again, all the talent in the world. He's a person who puts in the work, you know, and I think that he's going to consistently get better.
Alan, y'all lost David Montgomery out of the lineup. How important is it to have a mobile quarterback like a Justin Fields in there to help the running game out? And not only help the running game out, it also allows the secondary to cheat up when that type of guy isn't in there. Better yet, cheat back when you don't have a David Montgomery in.
Yeah, you know, it definitely helps. You know, obviously, for you, Keyshawn, playing receiver, you know, when you have a mobile quarterback, you know, when it comes to different coverages and two-man and stuff like that, you know, you really don't see too much because of the legs of the quarterback, you know, and they have to kind of, in the passing game and in the run game, account for the legs of the quarterback, you know. So that definitely changes the schematics of the defense.
Mm-hmm. That's Allen Robinson, ladies and gentlemen. Bears wide receiver one, WR1. You're on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Thank you, Alan. Appreciate it.
Get that bag, man. No Go get that man. Money. Get the money.
No problem, man. I appreciate it, man. Y'all have a good day.
Yes, right, sir. Alan.
Get that bag. Everyone's looking for the bag.
Well, they should have paid him a long time ago.
Yep.
I mean,
What do you have? So he had like 1,500 yards a couple
years
ago. Yeah,
but dude like that, you shouldn't even play with that.
Right.
You pay those type of dudes without even thinking about it. It's not even a question.
Especially on this team. You take Allen Robinson off this team, but with Allen Robinson, all of a sudden you go, that defense, that's if they can get that line shored up.
That's why I don't understand general managers sometimes when they run and stuff. It's like, man, what more do he need to do for you to give him his damn money?
That's why there's a lot of questions in Chicago. A lot of questions.
Yep. The way they operate. Will Aaron Boone be ousted as Yankees manager, and will he be the only Aaron leaving this offseason? That's what we're going to be talking about.
Hmm.
What other Aaron is on the Yankees? I'm trying to think who could maybe don't do
go
it.
There.
We have to.
We'll
ask
take him out in L.A. He can come play for the Dodgers.
You're going.
We have,
there.
We have to space. Ask the question. I'm not.
We have space for him.
I'm not going
because I'm not going there. I'm not saying that.
Guess where he's from?
We have to get into it.
Guess
know where he's from.
He's from California.
Stop.
We can take.
We're going to get into it. Coming up, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, and ESPN News on TV.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.